ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं सह वीर्यंकर वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो दिस बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद वी जस्ट स्टार्टेड सीइंग द इम्पोर्टेंट डिस्कशंस प्रेजेंटेड बाय शंकरा without looking into the actual original mantras. Once we see these important discussions, then we can also go to the mantras. So I said the very first chapter, Upanishad presents the Adhyaropaha, wherein the whole Jagat is accepted as absolutely real. And the three upasanams to Virad upasanams and Hiranyagarbha upasanam, three upasanams are discussed, and the result of upasanams also, the highest result, the attainment of Hiranyagarbha loka, a Hiranyagarbha sthanam is also mentioned there. Just by mentioning these three upasanams and the result, Upanishad makes it very clear that the highest benefit of performing any action cannot be anything more than the attainment of Hiranyagarbha's position, which means moksha is not attainable as a result of action. That fact is made very clear. Just by simply discussing three upasanas and the results, what Upanishad wants to convey is that the moksha is not attainable as a result of action, because moksha is, the bondage is caused by ignorance. Therefore, removal of ignorance, the attainment of knowledge itself is moksha. So, moksha natu karma phalam, moksha jnana phalam. Moksha is the result of the action, knowledge, which means not even the result, moksha is nothing but very knowledge itself is moksha. That fact the Upanishad makes it very clear. In that context, Upanishad discusses the creation. When the question of creation comes, always presented, this whole creation as originated from the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman. So Brahman is presented always as a Jagat Karanam, and the creation is presented as the Jagat. Jagat is presented as the Karyam, Brahma Karyam. So when this, the discussion on creation comes, after having created this entire universe, as I said, we have these objects of enjoyment, bhogya vishayaha, then abodes of enjoyment, the bhoga sad, bhoga ayatanani. So bhogya vishayaha, bhoga ayatanani, then bhoga sadhanani, the instruments of enjoyment. Having created all of them, then there is no enjoyer of objects. Therefore Paramatma, Brahman, otherwise implied by the term Paramatma, has entered here as enjoyer of the objects. So what it implies is the entire world of objects of enjoyment are of the nature of, is of the nature of inertness. Even abodes of enjoyment are all of the nature of inertness. The instruments of enjoyment also are of the nature of inertness. And there must be an enjoyer, experiencer. and that Paramatma himself has entered. Saha Pravishtaha, that is the expression exactly we get in this Upanishad. Saha Pravishtaha, Saha Pravishat, that Paramatma entered. The recently, before in the previous classes, we had this elaborate discussion on this Praveshaha. And I said, in the entire Veda is known by the term Shrutihi. Even though entire Veda is known by the term Shrutihi, every Vedantic statement, any Vedic statement also, even single statement also, can be mentioned, known by the term Shrutihi. So this particular statement of the Veda, which reveals the entry of Paramatma into the creation, especially the mind, is called Pravesha Shrutihi, Anupravesha Shrutihi. Paramatmanaha Anupraveshaha, Jagati Anupraveshaha. Entry of Paramatma into this universe. And there, even though the word expression entry is used, the entry implies movements, motions, and Paramatma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, Paramatma cannot move, nor can Paramatma enter anywhere. And there are so many other arguments and different schools of thought, people have their own views, and Shankara refutes all of them. Just by saying entry, the Pravesha Shabdaha, the expression entry is used only to say that Paramatma is always available. Paramatma is always available for recognition in one's own mind as the very witness of the mind. Sakshi Rupena Paramatmanaha Manasi Eva Antakarane Eva Upalabhyatvam Eva Pravesha Shrutya Shuchyate. So this entry, the statement of Anupravesha Shrutihi, the statement discussing, presenting the entry of Paramatma into the creation, only tells us that Paramatma is available for recognition as the very Swarupam, as the truth, the very witness of the mind, witness of all the thoughts. And there, even Paramatma is said to be available for recognition as a witness of the mind, another important fact also is implied there, that Paramatma alone is available for recognition as a witness of the mind means, the one who obtains in the mind as the Sakshi is another than Paramatma. That state, that itself reveals the Jivatma Paramatmanoho Sarupa Aikyam Api Pratipadyate Anaya Pravesha Shrutya. So by this statement, the Jivatma being non-separate from Paramatma, because there's Jivatma, actually speaking, there's no Jivatma, there's only Atma. To distinguish the individual Paramatma, we add the adjective Jiva. Really speaking, the same Paramatma alone, obtaining an individual body, mind's complex, is given the title, given the qualification as Jiva. Otherwise, there is no Jiva separately other than Paramatma. It's only Paramatma alone gets another name as Jivatma. In Paramatma, there is no Jivatma other than independently, different from Paramatma. So, this Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikyam, the oneness of the truth or the non-difference between Paramatma and Jivatma also is revealed by this Anupravesha Shrutihi. But that is where other people, ordinary people, not the different thinkers, the philosophers, found very difficult to accept it, the Jivatma being identical with Paramatma. So they had their own arguments, and we saw in the previous classes how Shankar Bhagavatpada carefully negates those views. So whatever is the nature of the Paramatma, is the nature of the Sakshi. So Sakshi itself we take. Sakshi is an akarantha pullingaha sakshin shabdaha, the one who obtains as the witness. Definitely the very word expression Sakshi implies Sakshi being distinct from the witnessed. So even Sakshi itself is an adjective. Sakshi itself is a qualification attributed to the reality. We cannot use any word to imply, to reveal, to indicate, to mention the reality. Sanskritam, we have the accurate word we have in Sanskritam is vastu. Vastu naha pratipadyatvam kenapi shabdena nasiddhyati. So no word can be used to indicate the vastu, vastu the reality. Why? Because any word itself is expression of the knowledge manifest in the form of a thought. There cannot be a word. So the existence of the word Shabdaha actually presupposes the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought. And manifestation of knowledge presupposes the source of manifestation. And the source of manifestation is the reality. Therefore, how can the reality, the absolute reality, which is a source of knowledge, be the object described by a word which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge? Hope you got it. Therefore, no word can be used. That is why Param Brahma Anamakam, Paramatma Anamakaha, which is Bhagavati Anamika, the nameless, no word can be used. Because the word itself is called Shabda Brahma. Word itself is manifestation of the expression of the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, the word being the expression of the manifestation of the knowledge cannot describe the source of knowledge. The word is incapable of revealing. Then no word can be used. Therefore, even the word Atma, or the word Brahma, or Jnanam, or Satyam, or Anantam, any word we used in the Shastra, Upanishad, every word actually reveals the reality only in terms of its nature. The word reveals only the nature, Swarupam. That's why Paramatma, the Vastu has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature. So even the word Sakshi, if we ask, how can Atma be said to be Sakshi? Because Sakshi also, witness means, from the standpoint of the Paramatma, you can't say Paramatma is a Sakshi. The Sakshitvam, the status of being the Sakshi also, is attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the Sakshyam Manaha. The mind which is witnessed. Anyway, so, therefore no word can be used. This is the Paramatma. In this Paramatma is there as the Sakshi. Maybe Paramatma is available for recognition in the mind, in all the minds. That is the case. Then if there are so many minds, how many Sakshis are there? Definitely, only Paramatma, the only reality, is there as the only witness of all the minds. There is no second witness. The too many witnesses are not there, the only witness. What is Sakshi, Paramatma? Sakshi is another than Paramatma. And here comes, if Sakshi is Paramatma, and who, what am I? The next question comes, who is the Sakshi? Who is the Sakshi? And we have to say definitely, I am the Sakshi. We have to say, what choice do we have? We have to say, I am the Sakshi. I am the witness. This first person singular pronoun I has to refer to the Sakshi definitely. I am the Sakshi. If I am the Sakshi is Paramatma and I am Paramatma, I am identical with Paramatma. I am Paramatma. So I am identical with Paramatma. Sakshi is identical with Paramatma. Means, Paramatma means the identity between Paramatma and Sakshi does not mean any similarity, but it means what? The very oneness. It means the oneness means the Sakshi, I the Sakshi, am the Paramatma itself, the Vastu itself. Sometimes the word, the expression identity can mean the similarity also. Similar. Then the twins are identical means the two children are there, twin children, and then they're identical means they look alike. It's not looking alike here. Sakshat Paramatma is, Sakshi is another than Paramatma. If that is very clear, that made very, very clear, then the question comes, then the why there is samsaraha? Then what is this samsaraha? Who is this one who is going through samsaraha? This life of limitations, this bondage, these pairs of opposites. Now, what is this samsaraha? Who is the one who is going through this samsara? So what about this birth, death, etc. and all these changes? And how, what is this something experience of pain, dukkham, samsaraha? What are these differences? What are these differences that we are experiencing in this life? The question comes. That is where it is made very clear now. Yes. Samsarasya karanam kim. If jiva, this Sakshi is Paramatma. Jiva is only a qualification given the same Paramatma from different standpoint. Then why is there samsaraha? That is where the answer comes. In this context, Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces this upadhi upahita sambandha. Upadhi upahita sambandha. See, this Paramatma, in the previous class also I discussed how Paramatma is available. Paramatma, Parambrahma Vastu, generally also available, specifically also available in every individual. Why? Paramatma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarva Gatatvam Paramatmanaha Swarupam. If that is the Swarup, the very nature, therefore, in and through, in a non-living thing, in living being, everywhere Paramatma is available. Paramatma is always there, everywhere there. In everything it is, Paramatma is there. But still we understand, where is Paramatma available for recognition? Where is Paramatma not available for recognition? That must be the question. We don't ask, where is Paramatma? There's no place, no time, no form, name, function, which is not in and through, pervaded by Paramatma. See, everywhere Paramatma is there, everything is pervaded by Paramatma, always Paramatma is there, timelessly, everywhere, which means, where is Paramatma recognizable, where is Paramatma non-recognizable? When is Paramatma recognizable, when is Paramatma non-recognizable? That must be the question. So we say, in all the non-living things, also Paramatma is there, pervading everything. But still Paramatma is non-recognizable because there is no manifestation. The living beings, where we see the lives and their Paramatma is available for recognition, but again, different beings, the levels of manifestation are different. So wherever we see the living beings, we can see where the lives is, there are functions, and where the functions are, and we can see there is the order involved in the functions, and every order is backed by the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions, nothing but Paramatma, that jnana. So we only understand Paramatma being manifest in the form of knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. So in living beings we can see, we can understand the Paramatma available for recognition as the manifest knowledge backing the order. But really speaking, where Paramatma is available for recognition as Paramatma is, as it is. We say, only in the human mind Paramatma is available for recognition. And even in a human being, if we take how Paramatma is available, we saw in the previous classes that how Paramatma is available for recognition generally, and also specifically. So in the waking state, Paramatma is available for recognition specifically. In deep sleep state, Paramatma is there generally, not being available for recognition. So not being available for recognition, non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence. It is as good as non-existent when there is no manifestation, when there is not available for recognition, as though Paramatma is not, nothing is there. As though nothing is there. That is why Shunyavada was possible also. As though nothing is there. So recognition is dependent on manifestation. Anyway, so then why samsaraha? So this is where we have come to know. There is upadhi. So this shariram is the upadhi. You know, upadhi yate anena yate upadhi. You know the meaning of, you all know very well what is upadhi and upahitam. So here, the upadhi, physical body is an upadhi, the mind is an upadhi, sense organs are upadhis, even the panas are upadhi, organs of actions are upadhi, every thought is an upadhi, even ahankara is an upadhi, for example. So everything is memory, chittam, memory, intellect, mind, everything, the entire body, mind, sense complex is an upadhi. And here, bravastu is upahitam. And with upahita, upahitam is the vastu. Paramatma is the upahitam. Everything is upadhi. So, if we say Paramatma is of the nature of all pervasiveness, means which part of upahitam is not pervaded by Paramatma? The entire upadhi is in and through pervaded by upahitam, chaitanyam, upahitam, upahita Paramatma. If it is pervaded means, what is the distance between the upahita atma and upadhi anatma? Upahita atma, upadhi anatma, what is the distance? There is no distance. Because of this distancelessness, because of this close proximity, here the upadhi are mistaken for the upahitam. Upadhis are mistaken for the upahitam. In fact, there is the essence on the part of the upadhis. That's why when we use this expression, I, the first person singular pronoun I, which is used to refer to, used by every individual to refer to one's own self. In fact, the I is a word by itself. Even if it's a singular pronoun, it is a word by itself. And every word should have its corresponding. If a word, take the word as a substantive, and there must be substance of that substantive. If we take the word wave, wave is a substantive, and water is the substance. If we take ornament as the substantive, gold is the substance. If furniture is the substantive, wood is the substance. Pot is a substantive, clay is the substance. Why? Because substance is removed, substantive will lose its status of being the substantive. There will be non-substantial form and name. Therefore, minus substance, there cannot be a substantive, which means the form and name will be non-substantial. Which means, in the first person singular pronoun, this I, also used by all of us to refer to ourselves, what is the substance of the substantive I? The first person singular pronoun I. Really speaking, we do not know. Even though we say, I am the Sakshi, we say, Sakshi is Paramatma, we understand until now. But I am that Paramatma, if I am the Sakshi, Sakshi is Paramatma, I am Paramatma, that is not there. It once very clear, but still it's not very clear also. Because the I, first person singular pronoun, what is the substance of the substantive I? Sometimes the body becomes a substance, sometimes the thoughts become the substance, sometimes even the emotion becomes substance. So the entire anatma aspects, all the aspects which constitute the anatma, any one of them become the substance of the substantive I. Therefore, the upadis, when you take the upadi as the aham, we say nir, even the atma is nirupadhikaha. Nirupadhikaha atma. You become what now? Sopadhika atma. Upadhi sahitaha atma. Even though atma is free from the upadis, absolutely. But atma is taken to be what? The one endowed with the upadis now. So sopadhikaha. Upadhi sahitaha atma, sopadhikaha atma. Then, now I am the body means what now? The identity is with the body, then sopadhika atma. I am the sense organ means sopadhika atma. Not only the upadis, I am sad means the sopadhika atma. So atma is identified with the upadis. I, this first person singular pronoun, used by all of us to refer to ourselves, is actually identified with body, mind, sense complex. Instead of what now? This nirupadhikaha I, the atma, becomes sopadhikaha atma. Upadis can be there, but atma, this atma being I, the Sakshi being distinct, even though Sakshi is not distant from the anatma, definitely Sakshi is distinct from the anatma. That Sakshi being distant, Sakshi is non-distant. That is the problem. Because of they are not distant, but definitely distinct. Sakshi being distinct is not very clear. Therefore, upadhi is taken to be the upahitam. Upahitam. So, upadhi is superimposed upon the upahitam. Anatma is superimposed upon the atma. And therefore, Shastram says, it is this error in the perception. Nirupadhikaha atma is taken to be the sopadhikaha atma. Not only that, now the functions are there. There is a physical activity, activities on the part of the physical body. The performer, doer. Who is the performer here? Of course, physical body alone is involved in all forms of external activities. Therefore, the doer, the performer of the actions physically, but the physical body only. But it's very clear, body by itself is of the nature of inertness. Body cannot do any action by itself. But actually, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is not doing anything. But Atma's presence itself is a blessing. Presence is blessing. Astitvameva anugraha. Atmanaha astitvameva anugraha. Presence itself is a blessing. So because the presence of the Atma, blessing of the Atma is what now? The body is alive, body is sentient, the body is active. For we say, Atma is not the doer, Atma has a nature of actionlessness, but the physical body alone is the doer, but physical body independently cannot do any action, and the physical body is blessed to be active, therefore, without the Atma's blessing, body cannot be the doer as well. So Atma is not the doer, but body cannot be the doer performer without the blessing of the Atma. Therefore we say what now? Atma is not the doer. Body is not the doer. But there cannot be doer without the Atma. Therefore, the doer is Atma, we can say. From the standpoint of the body, with the doer status is attributed to the Atma. Now, similarly here, from the standpoint of the sense organs, even the drashtrutvam, shrotrutvam, drashta, who is the seer here, who is the hearer, who is the one who smells, and who is the one who tastes, who is the one who feels the touch, who is this? So, in all the sense powers are involved in corresponding functions, we have to say here, even all this drashta, the seeing power by itself, even though seeing power is the drashta, Atma is not the seer, but still Atma is not the hearer, Atma is not the one who smells, but still we can say without the Atma, blessings, presence, these powers cannot be functional, there cannot be seer, hearer, the one who smells, taste, etc. without the presence of the Atma, blessing of the Atma. Therefore, we have to say, the hearer is Atma. From the standpoint of the hearing power, we have to say, the hearer is Atma, the one who smells is Atma, the one who tastes is Atma. We have to say this. Therefore, all these functions also now, not only the upadis, upadi dharmas. Upadi, when upadis are associated with the Atma, is sopadhikaha Atma. Nirupadhikaha Atma is taken to be sopadhikaha Atma. Now all these dharmas of the anatma, the upadis, are superimposed upon the upahitam, upahita Atma, then visesha, nirvisesha Atma. What now? Becomes savisesha Atma. Nirvisesha Atma becomes savisesha Atma. Now when we say, I am the seer, I am the hearer, I am the one who smells, I am the one who tastes, I am the experiencer. When you say, the nirvisesha Atma, you know, becomes the savisesha Atma. So, savisesha-tvam, sopadhikattvam, are what now? Are superimposed upon the Atma. Similarly here, no, nirguna Atma is a saguna Atma. Because of this, so upadhis and their attributes and their dharmas are superimposed upon the Atma. This conversion, whatever, conversion means not physically converted really, not literally converted, as though converted, as though superimposed, transferred. So upadhi dharmas are falsely transferred to the vastu, as though. Or it is this because of this error, because of the error in the perception of this Atma, the self, the samsara is there. Even though it is very, very clear, I am the witness, and the witness is the Paramatma, I am Paramatma, and the Paramatma is essentially of the nature of all pervasiveness, but still, and which is free from all the upadis, the only Paramatma, only witness, only, which is free from all the upadis, which is free from all the upahita dharma, all the dharmas. Upahitam Atma is free from all the upadis, all the dharmas. This nirupadikaha Atma, nirvisesha Atma, nirgunaha Atma is free from upadi and the upadi dharmas. It is not afflicted by anything. It is clear, but still the samsara, the samsara is there. It means the life of limitations. The limitations are superimposed upon the Atma. It is because of the upadi upahita. Upadhi upahita, the proximity of the upadhi and the upahitam, the closeness of the upadhi upahitam. Therefore, here definitely we need to have the vivekaha. Vivekaha, we have physically their inseparable. Upadhi and upahitam are physically inseparable, like the light and the opaque are physically inseparable. Upadhi and upahitams are inseparable. Therefore, but still, intellectually, cognitively, upahitam has to be distinguished from the upadhi. And that is where we have to resolve this, cognitively resolve this I sense. And that is when we can be objective, we can be free. That is, we can be, the already existing freedom can be understood. So, here the upadhi, now, which means the sakshi is now as though limited. is very clear now. Sakshi is absolutely Paramatma, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. And I am that Sakshi, which is distinct from this Anatma, body, mind, and complex. Even though it is there, but still as though limited. Why? Because there is no some where there is experience of limitations, there are problems. Therefore, now the question comes, the Sakshi who is mistaken to be a limited individual. Sakshi is mistaken to be the limited individual. The error in the, our perception of the Sakshi being a limited individual has to be corrected. When Sakshi being identical with Paramatma has to become, very clear. Now, how to see the Sakshi being already Paramatma? So, Sakshi is not really limited. Sakshi never became limited. So, Sakshi need not be made limitless also. Why? Sakshi is already Paramatma. Sakshi never became limited. Never got converted. Therefore, there is no need for us to again convert and change the Sakshi into a limitless Paramatma. Sakshi need not be changed into a limitless Paramatma. Sakshi never became a limited individual. It only in our perception there is error that we mistake this ID Sakshi as the limited individual. Sakshi never became limited. Sakshi cannot become limitless also. Sakshi is already limitless. What to do for that? Therefore, after this Anupravesha Shruti, now let me come to the point. In this first chapter, the fourth Brahmanam, there comes an important statement that is Atmetyevopasita. Important sentence here. Atmetyevopasita. Atmetyevopasita. Atma ityeva upasita. Yatra sarvam ekam bhavanti. So it is this Atma where everything becomes one. It is this Atma where everything becomes one. How to see? We need not do anything. We need not make the Sakshi a limitless Atma. We cannot make the Sakshi a limitless Atma. Because Sakshi is already Atma, which is Paramatma, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, may one meditate upon the Sakshi being already identical with Paramatma. This is the statement. Atma iti eva upasita. Atmetyeva upasita. So upasita is an the ling mood here. May one meditate upon the Sakshi as the Atma. Sakshi being already the Atma. Atmetyeva upasita. And this statement actually, it is only a pre-preparation for the Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakyam. So I'm going to make you read the mantras very quickly afterwards. But now, I'm just presenting, preparing you for that. So this is, Shankara Bhagavatpada takes his sentence. He gives really pay attention to this. He says, this statement is itself, like how we had Anupravesha Shrutihi before, and this statement is called a Sutra Vakyam. Sutra Vakyam means, a statement which is a brief statement, an important brief statement. Sutra Vakyam, and it is a brief statement of what? Statement of knowledge. Is called statement of knowledge. Statement of knowledge. It's called Vidya Sutra Vakyam. ஆர் வித்யா சூத்திரம் ஆத்மேத்ய உபாசித whenever we come across a statement saying may one meditate upon the witness or the I or the self being identical with Paramatma, a statement comes, it is called Vidya Sutram. So Sutram is an aphorism. It is a pre-confirmation of the Mahavakyam, meaning of the Mahavakyam. So Mahavakyam we already know. Mahavakyam is a statement, Vedantic statement, which declares the identity between the individual and the total. Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikya, Pratipadakam, Vakyam is Mahavakyam, we know very well. But here, what is Vidya Sutram? Again, it's a brief statement which reveals the Mahavakya Artha. So, Mahavakyam is, you know, Vishnu. So, Mahavakyartha Bodhakam Sutrabhuta Vakyam. Mahavakyartha Bodhaka Sutrabhutam Vakyam. So, Mahavakyam reveals the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma. And the knowledge revealed by the Mahavakyam is revealed by another statement. Means, that statement is called what? Vidya Sutram. Therefore, the word Vidya means knowledge. Vidya means knowledge. And what is the knowledge here? Knowledge is of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. So, Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikyam is the Jnanam, Jnana Vishayaha. Therefore, oneness of the truth, reality of the individual and the total is the knowledge, Vidya. The word Vidya implies knowledge of the oneness of the truth. So, the word Vidya implies the oneness of the knowledge of the oneness of the truth. And Vidya Sutram, when we say, a brief statement which reveals the knowledge of the oneness of the truth, which is revealed by any Mahavakyam. So, this Atmetevopasita Yat Sarve Ekam Bhavanti, where everything becomes one. This is Atmete Upasita alone is enough. Atma iti eva upasita. It's a Vidya Sutram. And it's important Sutram. And here, how the Sakshi is the Paramatma. If you say, if you look at this, definitely the Sakshi is always there. Sakshi is Paramatma, means whatever is the nature of the Paramatma is the nature of the Sakshi. Because they are one and the same. Now, Paramatma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. There is only one word. It's enough. Sarva gatatvam paramatmanaha swarupam. Param brahmanaha swarupam vastunaha swarupam. Sarva gatatvam vastu swarupam. Which means, any truth must in and through pervade the effect. And here, Paramatma means absolute reality, pervades in and through everything. It pervades everything means, How does it pervade everything? It is the all-pervasive. See, one word all-pervasiveness, the one expression all-pervasiveness implies the time, the limitlessness. How does this word all-pervasiveness implies limitlessness? That is what we have to understand. How does the one expression all pervasiveness implies limitlessness? To understand limit, how to understand that, we had, what does the word limitlessness mean? So limitlessness means being free from three possible limitations, not be subject to all these three limitations. So being time-wise limitless, being spatially limitless, being object-wise limitless is being free from limitation, three possible limitations, is what? Being limitless, and being limitless is limitlessness. So Paramatma is the nature of limitlessness. That is, is one word. So how Paramatma pervades everything? It means this Sakshi is that Paramatma. So we say all pervasiveness implies you have to take first thing. What is the subtlest of everything here? What is the subtlest of everything that is here in this world? The entire world, of course, we've been seeing this, the world is reduced to three factors, form, name and functions. Namarupa karmatmakam jagat. And here we have to take two important factors. Is the first factor, the subtlest, what is subtler than space, is the time factor, kalaha. Kala we have to take. Kalaha, you know, what is subtler than space is the time. And because time factor, we cannot say time is not there. Definitely time factor is there, but time is not absolute, time is relative. It has been made very clear in the timeless, in the Upanishads long ago. Therefore, time factor, there is a time when the time is not. Time itself is the object of the witness. Witnessed object. Time itself is the witnessed means. Time does not have independent existence of its own. We have to see where does the time exist. Therefore, time itself, time factor is an object of knowledge, means the time factor is pervaded. So this Atma pervades the time factor. Time factor is in and through pervaded by the Atma, means what? Time factor does not exist independent of, outside of, apart from Paramatma. Now time, Atma pervades the time. If Atma pervades the time, means Atma is distinct from the time. Atma pervades the time, Atma is distinct from time. Time is a subtlest abstract factor. I told you already, being abstract means what? Being the subtlest means being the abstract. Being the abstract means not being available for objectification, perception, conception and description. Is being the abstract. Therefore, Atma pervades the time. Now, Atma pervades the time, therefore Atma is, what now? Of the nature of timelessness. So all pervasiveness itself implies timelessness. Sarva gatatvam atmanaha nityatvam api pratipadayati. These are the subtle facts we understand in this here. Atmanaha sarva gatatvam atmanaha nityatvam pratipadayati. All pervasiveness itself implies timelessness, because time fact itself is object of cognition, object of perception. Therefore, the Atma pervades the very time. Atma is the nature of timelessness. Then, all pervasiveness implies the spatial limitlessness also. Now, this space, Akashaha, which is Sarvavyapi, even though we say what is all pervasive, apart from this, the space is said to be only all pervasive thing here. The all-pervasive space also, being the witnessed, being the object of experience, the space also is not outside of the Atma. Atma pervades the all-pervasive space. So all-pervasive space is, means space is relatively all-pervasive. Space is relatively all-pervasive. And Atma is absolutely all-pervasive. So how all pervasive space, how pervasive the space is, how space is all pervasive. How all pervasive it is? Relatively all pervasive. Why? Because Atma is absolutely all pervasive. Therefore, this all pervasiveness, sarvagatatvam, implies what? Also, a spatial limitlessness. Atma is spatially also limitless. Therefore, if Atma is time-wise limitless and spatially limitless, we don't need to worry about anything else. All the other objects, all the forms, names and functions which constitute the whole jagat exist within the realm of this time and space. So, kala desha avadi bhyam, isn't it? Within this time-space factors alone, within the realm of time and space alone, rest of the entire world obtains, exists. Therefore, this, all these forms, names and functions which constitute the whole jagat, obtaining within the realm of time and space, also is what? Being the objects, they're not outside of the Atma, therefore Atma in and through everything is pervaded by the Atma, therefore Atma is free from object limitation also. So all pervasiveness, one nature itself, implies Brahman's Atma being free from time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. That is the beauty of this all-pervasive. We understand all-pervasive. Sarva-gatatvam itself implies what? Nityatvam, sarva-gatatvam. Then also, sarva-sarvatmakatvam. Sarvatmakatvam means being free from object-wise limitless. So, Atma is free from all these threefold limitations. This is the Atma means, the thing which is not outside of the Atma. Now we say, you already understood, this Atma pervades the individual generally, and Atma is there, specifically also is there, recognizably, specifically there, non-recognizably, generally there, in every individual means, this witness, Atma, where is this witness? The witness pervades the entire individual, the entire physical body is pervaded by the witness. All the sense organs are pervaded by the witness. All the organs of actions are pervaded by the witness. All the physiological functions are pervaded by the witness. Every vritti which rises and resolves, every thought, every emotion which rises and resolves is pervaded by the witness. In fact, the eye cognition which rises and resolves also is pervaded by the witness. There's nothing, no individual aspect. All the different aspects which constitute the individual are in and through pervaded by the Sakshi Paramatma. But where is the Sakshi available for recognition? Sakshi Rupena. As the witness, where is the Paramatma available? Only in the Antakaranam, in the mind. Only the mind is available. In the physical body is also there. The sense organ is there. But where is Sakshi Rupena available? We say, everything is Sakshyam here. All the body when it's complex, all objects of knowledge is very clear. And in the waking state, of course, everything is experienced here. In the dream state, dream is experienced. The deep sleep state, nothing there is also experienced. Which means, which is the time the Sakshi is not there? Sakshi is always there. Now we say, when we say this, I am the witness always there. I am there as always the witness. Then the question comes, who is this witness? Who is this witness? Physical body definitely is an object of knowledge, is the witnessed. And the sense organs are the witness objects of knowledge. The sense powers, the powers of organs of actions also the witnessed. The physiological functions are the witnessed. Every emotion is witnessed. Every thought is witnessed. Even these states of mind, the waking state of mind is witnessed. The dream state of mind is witnessed. The deep sleep state of the mind also is the witnessed. Everything is witnessed means, is there a witness or not? Definitely there's a witness. And you have to say, I am the witness. If everything is taken to be the witnessed, everything is negated. The entire objective universe is negated as the witnessed. The body mind complex is negated as the witnessed. Now, what cannot be negated as the witnessed is only the witness. And definitely you understand, and what is the substance of that substantive I, the witness? What is that which is there witnessing the thoughts being not there, the world being not there in deep sleep state? What is it which is there? What is that which is there witnessing even the I sense being not there? In deep sleep state, even the I sense, aham asmi iti jnanam api nasti, witnessing the I sense being not there, the world being not there, there is something witnessing the mind being blank. The same witness is there witnessing the dream. The same witness is there witnessing the world being present in the waking state. So what is that? When these three states of mind, which are mutually exclusive and discontinuous, when they undergo changes, seeing this constantly undergoing changes of this mind, witnessed mind, what is that? The witness, without undergoing any changes, changelessly, what is that which is there as the witness? What is the form of that witness? We do arrive at the witness. We have arrived at the witness. Now nobody can deny the fact, no, we have arrived at the witness. You are all already seeing. You are already seeing. You are seeing. When you repeatedly said, I'm not doing like a kindergarten class, but I'm just repeating it. I don't need like Dirkshiveka, I'm not going back. I'm just making it very clear. Already it is very clear. Yes, waking state of the mind, where the world shines, where you know you are, where you know the world is. You know you are, you know the world is. There's experience. And the same witness continues to be there in dream. The dream also is witnessed. And the same witness continues to be there in the deep sleep state, where there's neither the dream world nor this external world. And there's not even the knowledge the world is, the mind is entirely blank. There is a witness seeing nothing being there. There is a witness seeing nothing being there. That is where Swamiji used to say, where the Shunyavadi says nothing is there, and you must be there to say nothing is there. Some used to sell this. Shunyavadi says nothing is there means you must be there to say nothing is there. You are there very much witnessing nothing is there in deep sleep state. Even though you are not expressing your knowledge of nothing being there, but you wake up and tell. You are able to say that. Yes, nothing is there in deep sleep state. There is a witness. You are there. You are very much there. Unfortunately, you are there not knowing you are. But you are very much there. You are there not knowing you are. Nobody can deny the one's own existence in deep sleep state. Who can deny? Are you there in deep sleep state or not? Yes, you are there not knowing your own existence. Just because you do not know your existence, not knowing your own existence, does not deny your existence. You are there not knowing your own existence. Therefore, when you do not know your own existence, there cannot be knowledge of the existence of the world as well. Therefore, nothing is there. And nothing is there is also witnessed. And there is a witness. And that witness is the swarupam of the I. That witness is the swarupam, the substance of the substantive I. The I has to be resolved in the witness. There is something which is witnessing the knowledge I am being not there. The knowledge the world is being not there. And that witness alone, this I, the first person singular pronoun I, has been resolved in that to witness swarupam of the I, the substance or the substantive. I is the witness, the witnessing reality. And what is that witnessing reality? That is the actual substance of the substantive I. The witnessing reality, in what form does it obtain? No form. That's why you have to say abstract. Now you can understand the meaning of the word abstract also. Reality is of the nature of formlessness. You cannot say, no, I don't know. Yes, you understand the witness. Sakshi, you are understanding now. In what form does Sakshi obtain? Sakshi is of the nature of formlessness. You cannot say in what form does it is inexplicable. You have understood the witness, but it's inexplicable. No word can be used to say how, in what form does obtain. Therefore, we have to say what? Sakshi is of the nature of formlessness. And this Sakshi is of the nature of formlessness. How many Sakshis are there? This Sakshi is... You have to understand the Sakshi only in terms of its nature of knowing. Why does it witness? Why does it know? Because Swarupam. Therefore, we can use the term Jnanam. So, the formless, abstract reality. Why do you call it abstract? Because it is not available for objectification. It is not available for perception. It is not available for concept, thought conception. It is not available for word description. Therefore, you have to use the expression abstract. Formless, abstract, all-pervasive reality. Understood already how it pervades everything. Reality is abstract, formless reality which pervades time, which engulfs the time. The time is the devourer of everything. The reality even pervades the time and engulfs the time. It pervades the space. It pervades all the forms and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Therefore, we say it is all pervasive. Therefore, we say here, this formless, abstract, all pervasive reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, the expression is what? It is pure knowledge and a pure consciousness. Pure awareness. So, you have to use the term consciousness or, you know, awareness or pure knowledge, source of knowledge. This is the substance. That is why Kandavar Vindalan. It is not explicable. You can't explain. But definitely you do arrive at it. And now, this reality is abstract, all-pervasive, formless, reality which is of the nature of knowledge, consciousness, awareness. How many are there here now? It is one and the only reality. There is no second reality, it is only reality. And this reality, being the very substance of the time, factor called time, very substance of the substantive space, substance of the substantive, all the forms, names and functions, only substance of the substantive universe. If you can put everything in one term as universe, the substance of the substantive universe is what? This reality. The consciousness. So the substance, only thing is the substance of the substantive universe, you arrive at the substance of the substantive I. There is no way of objectifying it. Therefore, this is the only way you have to arrive at it. Once you have arrived at it, you can see there is no second substance. Apart from this one substance called consciousness, every other substantive is what? Implies only non-substantial forms, names and functions. And here Shankar Bhagavatpada takes this word Atma. Atmetyevopasita sarvam apnoti iti Atma. The definition he gives here only. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. Apnoti. We take the root ap. To reach, to attain. So, the reality already has attained, reached every bit of it. We take the word, now take this wood. The wood in a form called table, there's a form indicated by the word table, there which part of the wood, which part of the table is not pervaded by the wood. The wood has already reached wherever the table is, the table form occupies, there the wood already is there. So already it is there. So apnoti means reaches, attains, and it implies what? Already it has gone there. So apnoti sarvam iti atma, and here we have to understand this reality upstairs. Abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, therefore implied by the term chaitanyam, jnanam, awareness, this reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarva gatatvat sarvam apnoti iti atma iti shabdena bhuchyate. Atma, this reality is what now? Is the only witness. There is no witness. Even the witness is also, the sakshitvam also, is a temporary qualification attributed to the same Atma from the standpoint of the witnessed states of mind. The states of mind undergo changes. And then they are mutually exclusively different from each other, they constantly undergoing changes, and the witness is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, being the changeless reality, unchangingly, changelessly, being there, witnessing the changes on the part of the mind, from the standpoint of the changing states of mind, they are the changeless Atma, is what now? Given the witness status, witness qualification, sakshi status, from the standpoint of the sakshyam. Saksha manasaha, from the standpoint of the saksham, the witnessed mind, the sakshi status is attributed to the Atma. Actually speaking, even Atma is not even the sakshi. Atma is not even the sakshi. Then who is this Atma now? Who is this sakshi now? Sakshi Atma ityeva upasita. This sakshi is only a qualification attributed to the Atma. Sakshi is none other than Atma. Sakshi is Atma only. What is Atma? All pervasive reality. All pervasive means how? All pervasive. Time pervades time, pervades space, pervades all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Therefore, time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless, only, formless, secondless, non-dual, abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure chaitanyam, pure consciousness, pure knowledge is the vastu here. And this is the upahita rupena asti. Okay? Like, water is the upahitam, ocean is upadhi. Water is the upahitam, wave form is the upadhi. And you have to resolve the upadhi in the upahitam. You can say there is neither upadhi nor upahitam. What is there is only water. Similarly, the whole jagat is upadhi. The individual upadhi, body, mind, complex is upadhi. All the forms, names and functions are upadhi. Time is upadhi, space upadhi, resolve all the upadhis into upahitam chaitanyam. There is neither upahitam nor upadhi. What is there is only Atma. So, repeatedly see this fact. Atma ityeva upasita means already it is only, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, this is only to help you understand the Mahavakyam is going to be unfolded later on. Mind straight away we have to say, Aham Brahma Asmi. That we are going to say later on. Without any hesitation, without any second thought. Definitely, there's no truth, there's no vastu other than this. If you really analyze, you cannot find any other substance for the substantive I, whether we like it or not. Sakshi is the only vastu, only substance of the substantive I. And the Sakshi is again none other than the Atma. And therefore, Aham Atma, I the witness, am the Atma, the all-pervasive, only formless, abstract reality, which is free from all limitations, means which is free from all forms, names and functions, which is free from all the viseshas. So, nirupadhikaha, nirviseshaha, nirguna, chaitanya, atma, ahamasmi. This is the, what now? Atmetyeva upasita. Atma ityeva upasita. Aham, the witness is another atma. I am the witness, I am the atma. May one repeatedly see this fact. This is called Vidyasutram. Why Vidyasutram? I already told you. Sutra rupena, briefly it gives you the knowledge revealed by the Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam is another way of, another Mahavakyam. Indirectly it simply says, means called Vidyasutram. So, this is only introduction of the Vidyasutram. The next class, actually, what Shankara actually presents in his commentary on this Vidyasutram, we'll see in the next class. Okay, this one I introduced today, Vidyasutram. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.